Welcome to Doctor's Orders with your host, Dr. Baker. Now let's join today's program.
Hello, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us again today on Trending Thursday. I'm really excited about our guest today, and I think you will be too, as we will bring in the company Fully Bully. I mean, think about that name. We'll bring in Fully Bully here to speak with you all today. Once again, I am your host, Dr. Baker. I am the owner of the only business hospital in the world, servicing 14 countries. And my job and the only reason why I wake up from a work standpoint is to ensure the health of businesses globally. I want to make sure that your business is healthy, regardless of the state or the status that it's in. Once again, small businesses, we look at that as 50 million and under, 500 employees or less. So that's including micro businesses, boutique business, mom and pop shops, startup founders, but all the way up to larger entities that have been around for a while, but still are in need of how to make more business, how to scale, how to capture more market share, how to catch up with the ever-changing times. How are things affecting us? My job is to assist you there. If anyone listening out there wants to join today's conversation, or is in need of business treatment and you want me to treat you live on air, our phone number is 859-291-2255. Once again, that number is 859-291-2255. I'm on standby. If anybody wants to send us any correspondence, you can do that at info@drbaker.us. Once again, that's info@drbaker.us. And so since today is Trending Thursday, if you've been following the show, every day we have a different topic, a different theme, and we like to talk about things that are just flat out trending. And so that could be anything in the business sector. And when we think about what's trending, I actually want to look at what's been transpiring over the last 5 to 10 years, which is just the boom of what we would consider to be e-commerce or creating businesses that are mobile or virtual in nature. It's just been an absolute explosion, you know, so much so that the average person now believes, you know what, I'm just going to start a business and I'm going to throw it online and I'm going to go ahead and that's what I'm going to do. And some components of that is real. Some components of that, you know, are viable. However, there are other aspects that you have to pay attention to. You have to be ready for. And oftentimes there's misconceptions on how to create an online business. Whether you have a service to offer or whether you have a product to give, many times there are some misconceptions on what that looks like. So today I brought in a company called Fully Bully, ran by Andrew Rivas and Grant Egan. They have created a way to help you business owners to do that in a much more efficient, more effective fashion. And we're going to talk about that. So without further ado, I bring in today's guest of Fully Bully, Andrew and Grant. How are you gentlemen doing today?
Doing great, Dr. Baker. Yeah, thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Thanks so much. And just to kind of set the precursor for the listeners today, tell us, you know, whether it's Andy or Grant, tell us, you know, who is Fully Bully, what you guys do, and how you do it.
Sure. Andy, you want to take it?
Okay, cool. So we're Fully Bully. We have been building Shopify websites for, you know, probably 10 years, off and on, in, you know, working for different companies. And we decided to go out and build our own company. And we bring a lot of industry knowledge from high-level companies like Audi of America and Ally Bank and some other big names, where we've worked in a non-Shopify capacity. So we bring the professionalism that has to be run at those organizations to the Shopify platform. So our business operates on what's called Agile, which is a software development practice that basically keeps the business flexible rather than investing a bunch of resources into a project that doesn't pan out. Agile is a framework for operating a business in a way that keeps things flexible, manageable, responsive to business changes and different business needs and that sort of thing. So that's how we got started, and that's sort of our angle is bringing that professionalism to Shopify. Shopify used to be a, you know, contractor only or, you know, small business only kind of space, and it's really evolved over the past few years to, you know, dealing with larger corporations, enterprise level businesses, as well as, you know, like the more serious small businesses that are needing to operate at a higher level.
I want to talk about that for a moment, because Shopify is a term or a company, however someone has ever been introduced to it, that I would say is becoming more common, but not everyone understands Shopify or even understands its usage and how it's leveraged. And so in this instance, I think that because we're in these spaces, we take it for granted that this is kind of a common tool, but to many business owners, it's not common, even if they have Shopify. Can we break Shopify down just a little bit more to make sure that the audience is on par with what the product is?
Absolutely. Good call out. Shopify is an e-commerce platform. They allow you to build, you know, the e-commerce end of your website. Some companies, a lot of the direct-to-consumer companies, the entire website is on Shopify, and some of them it's just the product piece, you know, like the checkout or the inventory and that sort of thing. So they run the gambit on how it's actually set up. Basically, what Shopify does is it brings all of the e-commerce parts of your website under one roof that is trusted. It's like you don't have to worry about, you know, part security and credit cards and, you know, order tracking and, you know, fulfillment and all that stuff. It's all packaged up nice and neat for you. A lot of customized, custom configurability. And it gives a business the ability to go online or to build an online presence in a really efficient way. And there are a lot of platforms out there that do that. There are, you know, there's WooCommerce, there's BigCommerce, WordPress has a product. But so I guess the way that I like to think about it is I call Shopify the Apple of e-commerce. They really package everything up into a nice, neat package. Everything's well documented. There's a great community around it of other businesses and supporting partners that help make Shopify an easy solution when you're looking at creating an e-commerce presence.
So with tools such as this, whether you use Shopify or whether you're piecing together various tools, this reality has allowed people that otherwise wouldn't have either the amount of money or the infrastructure to run a business to actually run a business and then furthermore do it without a brick and mortar, but to do it through e-commerce. But even with this level of ease, talk to the audience a little bit, just kind of share, you know, even though it sounds easy, there's a lot of common errors that are made by business owners, whether it's website functionality or how things are set up. Share with us some of the traps or the pitfalls that you all have seen in your experience.
Sure. I mean, there's always some legal thing coming down the pipeline. Just recently, we had the cookie banners hit the internet that I'm sure everyone who's listening who's ever opened a web browser knows about. Those little pop-ups that show up on your screen when you have to accept the marketing cookies for a specific website or reject them. That was a law that California put in place, and the internet kind of digested it as a whole. And to do that and stay legal in California selling products, if you were doing any sort of pixel tracking or, you know, had any scripts on your website that were helping you to analyze your customer's behavior, you would have had to have put this in place or California would have sued you. So, you know, that's just one example of how dealing with the modern web can, you know, require the expertise. You know, just like a, you know, if you have a pipe burst in your basement, you call a plumber. You know, we're those plumbers. We're dealing with those issues. We have the knowledge to do those types of things. You know, cart security, it used to be said that whatever you do on the internet as a business, don't save credit card details. And this is showing my age a bit. We said that back in the late 90s, but it was just such a risk for a business. It's one of the reasons I think PayPal was successful, is because they took on the burden of security. And so Shopify does that as well. And so they put all of that into a really secure, reliable platform that you can still brand for your business. And they've got some really great tools that, you know, make the mom and pop, or the, you know, the direct to consumer, or you know, the just slightly not brick and mortar stores able to compete with the likes of Amazon, because they have a product called Shop Pay, and that brings everything that you may order on a website that's using Shopify checkout into a single order management app on your phone. So if I order from Jeff's Hats and Joe's Boots and, you know, Katie's Purses, all of those different orders from different websites are collected under one roof. And so I open my Shop Pay app on my phone, or the Shop app on my phone, and I can see all this order history from just, you know, shopping anywhere online. When I go to check out, all my credit card details are filled in for me, my address and everything for shipping, just like it would be at Amazon, except I'm shopping on a wider marketplace. So Shopify really brings a lot of capability, especially recently. They've been doing a lot of fantastic innovation that I think you're going to see the ripples from, you know, across the wider market very soon.
Well, you talked about a couple of things that are very interesting. Number one, the legality surrounding just not only just the technology, but the whole wave of e-commerce. You know, with this being a trend where individuals now don't have to sell things from the trunk of their car or on street corners, which some of that still exists, but it doesn't have to when you have an e-commerce platform. And not to mention, you can do more than just in your region, but you can sell internationally through a very well put together e-commerce platform. But the legalities around it can literally cripple and crater your business if things aren't done well. How much do you all find that business owners either are ignorant or oblivious to what legalities exist, or maybe they don't even care? Or is it something that comes up on their radar and they are interested in it, they're just not sure which direction to go? How frequent is this reality?
I think I would liken it to car insurance. You know, everybody knows they need it, but they, you know, they're not sure exactly what they're covered for. And, you know, so it's a frequent occurrence. Everybody knows they need to lock their doors at night, but they don't understand, you know, how the numbers behind, the numerism behind, you know, what can happen if you don't lock your doors, you know, and how likely that is to happen to them. So I'd say they're aware of it, but they don't know how to deal with it. So oftentimes they'll try and fly under the radar as long as they can before they're forced to, would be, I guess, the most common occurrence.
Now, you know, the statement was made that now you can compete with the likes of Amazon. We know no one's competing with them unless you're Alibaba, and Alibaba still pales in comparison in many areas. But what I'd like to look at it as is participation, is that now e-commerce has allowed entities to participate. You know, let's use an example of a restaurant. And you've got your grandmother's favorite dish. And so grandma made this sauce or salsa that is to die for, and you created a restaurant around that. You now can bottle up that sauce and have that sold through e-commerce. Whereas in times past, that wasn't a reality. People had to travel in to get to Mama Mia's, if you will. And so with that explosion, tell me some of the things that you all have seen in your experiences amongst the business owners that are saying, you know what, we can participate that way. Are there any unique stories or anything that you can share that a business has actually either turned themselves around or have exploded because of the reality of e-commerce?
Well, a lot of our clients, we aren't allowed to talk about because we work with them through partnerships with other businesses. But what we can tell you is that what Shopify has done is, I guess, they go to bat for you against Amazon. So they have a large market presence. If you can, you know, if you have to list your products on Amazon, Amazon controls where they show up in the search. You don't get to decide. But you can optimize your site on Google, and you can, you know, if you've got the Shopify ShopPay integration on your website, it's helping you level that playing field. So you bring a little bit more power back to your exposure to your customers, and it can be very transforming for your business.
So I think in this instance, we're talking about having a very healthy web presence, a very healthy marketing strategy accompanied with your e-commerce platform that also has to be built out in a very healthy standpoint in order to make sure that transactions are working well, that the systems are speaking to one another, and that the flow of your business is controlled in a way that lets you monitor and adjust and adapt as your consumer base does. And let's really transition a little bit from Shopify back to Fully Bully, is that you all mentioned that you all are doing it in a way, and the word that I picked up on was the professional way. Explain to me why that's so important.
Well, software development is a complex thing at times. And if you don't manage it properly, just like your lawn, it can get out of control. So we use industry standard practices for managing the software development lifecycle so that, you know, say we decide that we're going to build a new product page and we get halfway done with it and the business owner asks for something new that just came out and they've got to have it, or, you know, what we originally envisioned isn't going to work and we're going to have to pivot to another platform. This way of operating and keeping things, quote unquote, agile allows us to respond to those business changes without disturbing the current operations of the site and staying flexible from a software development and people management standpoint.
Well, so, you know, flexibility becomes really important. Number one, especially if you're a micro boutique business, when you're not exactly sure where your target market is because they might be moving, or maybe you've come out with, let's call a portfolio of products, you don't know which one is going to move best or how they're going to be received. And so you may have to switch from, and let's call them an apparel company, you may have to switch from where your shirts are to maybe where your pants are, from pants to a hat that maybe people have caught fire on. So they've ignored some products, maybe not others. But the point is, your business has a way to adjust when you're using, number one, your services through platforms such as Shopify. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yes, exactly. You know, it's about staying responsive to the marketplace. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of business owners can identify with, it's controlling costs and timelines. So if we tell you that, you know, we're going to deliver a new product page at the end of the month, you can bank on it because we've done it for, you know, giant enterprises, and we bring those same skills and experience to the Shopify platform.
What are some of the biggest issues that you see with business owners, you know, outside of maybe not knowing exactly how much of the service they need, but what are some of the things that you all regularly see that maybe you have to combat? I know on my end, to qualify the question, a lot of times I have to walk them through what treatment looks like because I'm changing the mindset and the paradigm of how they operate and saying it's not about what I tell you, but it's more about me helping you understand what to think about and then how to recognize symptoms and then where to find the solutions. So I'm actually equipping them to be healthier without me. But a lot of times that's an obstacle or a barrier that I'm working with because it may not be traditional and what they're used to saying. What are some of the obstacles and barriers that you all witness and encounter in the field with some of your clients?
It's pretty much the same thing. You know, the internet is a difficult thing to keep up with. You know, Shopify is constantly making improvements to the platform. There are new sales channels opening up. They just released an integration with TikTok where you can sell products live on TikTok. And if you don't know about that, how are you going to capture that those sales? It's a new marketplace, and you know it's growing rapidly. But if you don't know it exists, you can't take advantage of it. If you don't know you're under some legal obligation to put a banner on your page, how are you going to deal with that? So it's a lot of the same stuff that it sounds like you're dealing with, but more on a technical level.
Mm-hmm. And is there a lot of pushback once you're going through the process of educating the client, or is it more that you're embraced because they were unaware?
Yeah, you can't really succeed with a bad partner, and we look at all of our clients as partners. We are there to make sure that their business is successful online. So we want to develop a relationship of trust where we give you the, you know, brutal truth and let you make the decision, and, you know, we back you to the hilt. But we don't want to work with people who are, you know, resistant to learning, I guess. We're mm-hmm. happy to educate and help, but
I find that to be really funny when you say resistance to learning. I find that it's not the resistance to learning, it's resistance to who they're learning from. And the reason why I say that is, and you talked about the internet, I immediately started to think about how crappy and terrible the internet is, accompanied with all the good things that the internet brings. And you said, well, what are you talking about, Doc? Is that people run on there and they believe they have a Google degree because they Google some things, but they don't necessarily double check the source or the accuracy of the information they receive, but they're constantly looking for information. Even in the realm of social media, people are looking for information and they're seeking to learn. But the problem is, let's say your truth flies in the face of a falsehood sprinkled with a coating of truth. Now you're in a tug of war, because what I saw on social media or what I Googled flies in the face of the information you just provided. So, I don't really need all of that, or you're just telling me that. I know I run into that regularly, where I've got to deal with the Google Bible, if you will, in which in that instance, you're like, well, how do I reconcile this? Because the information that we're providing is sound based on whether it's research, anecdotal data, historical data, whatever it might be, that we can demonstrate its proficiency. But we've had to deal with an opinion of, you know, a 19-year-old that's never even been in the industry. But they put information out there and it's been received, and therefore you have to run with it. Do you guys see that reality in your world as well, or never?
Less so, but I think it's just happenstance. We're a new company. So, you know, coming from our deep, you know, exposure to, like, enterprise level work, those people are, I guess, used to dealing with, you know, facts. But I guess you always run across people who, you know, are hungry to learn and they want to make an effective decision. And I think this is probably a lot of what you might be seeing, but they don't know how to learn. So they've latched on to a bit of information, like a rat in a flood, in a flooded river, and they don't know how to apply it. So they latch onto it as like a life-saving, you know, log in a flooded river, and they won't let go of it for anything. And I've definitely seen that before. But I think when you bring people, you know, information, again, that is backed up with experience, and, you know, it comes back down to working with the right partners. You've got to have the right people in place if you want to be successful in life. And so I think that's a way that we think about how we engage with people. We want to be choosy with our partners because we don't have time to waste.
Well, you talk about having a partnership, and one thing that I bring to the table when I'm looking at my patients is that how are their strategic partnerships, how are their alliances, and can we differentiate between a legitimate strategic partner, an alliance, an ambassador, you know, or someone that's just flat out cheering for them in any level or fashion. When you all speak of partnerships with your clients, what does that relationship look like? Because many times, you know, you've got a transactional relationship amongst a vendor and a company, but the nature of that relationship extends past transactional because you're actually feeding off of one another. I want to talk about something to highlight that a little bit further, because I just watched the movie Elvis the other day and it was fantastic. Could not have been more captivating as I sat in the movie theater for extra 30 minutes after it went off, you know, yearning for some more. But the story had a lot to do with the colonel, who was Elvis's manager, and I'm not going to ruin the movie, but there was a part in that movie where Colonel said, you know, we need each other. And it looked like the colonel was being a succubus to Elvis. And he actually ended up, you know, having, I mean, this story is public, but there was some convictions of financial abuse to Elvis from the colonel. But I started to look at that and I said, wait a minute, the colonel was Elvis's manager and Elvis wasn't quite tearing it up and being on fire until the colonel showed up. And every deal they had for years, the colonel created. Simultaneously, he did it off the back of Elvis, but Elvis could not have done anything without, or not as done as much potentially, without the work of the colonel. So the reason why I'm saying that is that's a very symbiotic relationship. One needs the other in a very mutual fashion. Help the listeners understand what that relationship looks like when you're talking about an e-commerce platform and how to build an e-commerce business or scale an e-commerce business with the services of Fully Booked.
I'm a big fan of Warren Buffett, and, you know, when he started his partnership back in the 50s, he did it on one page of paper, and he laid out all the rules ahead of time and said, look, you know, I'm giving you so much of this partnership for so much money. I'm going to take 10 or 20% off the top. I'm not going to justify my, you know, every decision to you. And I will report at the end of the year. And so I like a simplified approach like that. I want to be the trusted partner. I'm the authority. You come to me, you ask me a question, I will give you the brutal truth. Even if I don't know the answer to it, I will say, I don't know the answer. Let me find out. And so I think building that trust is key to being successful. But you have to think, when those people were handing over money, and before Warren Buffett had a reputation, they were putting their trust in him. And every dollar you spend, you're trusting that you're going to get something for that money. You know, when you go to McDonald's, you trust they're going to give you a hamburger when you get to the window. So when we engage with people, the best we can do is lay out our case, make things as simple as we can, answer every question that we can. But at the end of the day, you got to decide whether you trust the people that you're working with. And if that trust doesn't exist, you're going to have a tough time being successful together. So it is a symbiotic relationship. And one can't exist without the other one. So it's best to just face that and move on and abandon the looking at your neighbor's plate to see if you need some of their food kind of situation.
Understood. We're going to pause here for a moment for a station break. And today's segment of Trending Thursdays is brought to you by none other than Pro Elite Training. That's Pro Elite, which is one word, Pro Elite Training. You can find it at GetProElite.com or within your Google and Play stores. If you want to train with NBA, NFL athletes or MMA fighters to increase your rhythm, tempo, and pace through the metronome of music, Pro Elite is the only device, the only mechanism, the only technology that allows you to do that. Please download Pro Elite Training today. It is a freemium model, which means that you get hundreds of drills at no cost to you. See if you can do a three dribble combo or work that jab punch combination with MMA heavyweight bare knuckle champion Tony Johnson Jr. on Pro Elite Training. So back to essentially the market of e-commerce. And when we're looking at e-commerce and establishing e-commerce, you know, you're selling everything from, you know, food to retail items. what are some of the quirkier things that you guys have seen or even had to build out for a consumer through e-commerce? Talk to us a little bit about just the diversity of e-commerce and some of the ways that e-commerce can be leveraged.
Yeah, I mean, you can buy anything on the internet. We're doing a lot of CBD products right now, so we're quote unquote selling weed on the internet. and it's legal now, so at least in a lot of places. But that's an area where, you know, there's still some places where it's not legal, so we have to geofence the product based on the injury and other components like so sort of thing. Like food, cheese place right now. Pretty big name cheese company. So there's all kinds of things. And then everything down to the mundane, you know, hats and hockey sticks, jewelry and all kinds of stuff. Dirt bike parts. We've done many different things.
You know, I want to go back to that.
Really cool.
Okay, what is that before I ask my question? No, go ahead. I want to hear what you're going to say.
My buddy that I worked with for a few years has this website where he sells maps of the terrain of the ocean floor or the river of a geographic area. So it'll be like Montego Bay or Charleston, South Carolina, or wherever. And it's this beautiful map, and it's laser cut out of like a oak plywood, and then it's layered. So 10 feet down, it'll show a certain, you know, pattern, and then 20 feet down and so on to the floor of the ocean, and give the nautical measurements of the depths. And they're just really, really beautiful and ocean charts in wood that you hang on your wall. And that's one of my favorite projects that we ever worked on, because the product was so great. I told him that he should do one of Charleston, because that's where Andy and I are from. And Charleston's a big, you know, we have five beaches and there's a big boating community here. And he finally made it. And I have chart number one sitting on my wall. And they're just beautiful, beautiful products.
They sound fantastic. And what that speaks to is the diversity of what can be done in today's climate as opposed to yesteryear. You know, there was a reality where you could not touch your target audience in this same fashion. Hence the reason why e-commerce has been trending in such a massive uptick over the years. I want to go back to a point when you mentioned the CBD, as you guys are pusher men, you know, via the internet, which is hilarious to me. In this instance, you said something that could not have been more important, which is every state doesn't carry the same standard. So you can actually be in violation of behaviors that you're unaware of because you're operating in one state equally in another state that doesn't recognize your behavior similarly. And you talked about geofencing, which is a term that I obviously know, but others may not. Talk to us about, as a partner for your clients, how are you protecting against those types of realities and then setting them up for success as opposed to having those traps laid for failure?
Yeah, so we, you know, have experience with some of our other clients doing this exact thing. So we have some exposure to, you know, the needs of those particular markets and where, you know, there are definitely exclusions that exist. So, you know, you can't do CBD products in Bahrain. But if you don't know that, then you can get in some hot water. So it's partly experience based, and then it's partly every time that somebody brings us a challenge or a new project, we're going to do that depth of analysis to make sure that what we're delivering is the absolute best thing that you can put out for the price. So, you know, we're going to cover you on accessibility to make sure that everybody's able to access the website and get to your products, regardless of any impairment that they may be dealing with. And that's a big deal. And you know, if you're dealing with a gray market product like CBD or the new psychedelic that are starting to be sold on the internet, we're able to do that research for you and assess what your exposure is before you get into those situations.
I find that to be major. I really want to pause there for a moment because I need the listeners to allow this to settle in, is that sometimes, and I've seen this plenty, that someone decides that they want to pivot, whether it's out of desperation, whether it's out of opportunity, or whether it's out of access, and they jump into something that maybe they're not too sure of, but they believe they have the infrastructure to do so, but they don't have all the information needed to equip them in a way that makes them operate in the most effective way. And what you just stated was, hey, as your partner, we're going to research some of this, or we're going to make you aware of some of these aspects to ensure that you're not really getting in the hot water by just offering products in instances maybe you shouldn't be able, that you should not do, or maybe in other instances that you're not best protected. You know, we've had some episodes where we've talked about things from risk assessment all the way to cybersecurity, and it sounds like you guys are assisting your partners with that reality to make sure that not only are they effective and that they're profitable, but that you're also protecting their best assets. Am I hearing that correctly?
Yeah, you know, if you are that Damon John or that Tommy Hilfiger and you're selling T-shirts out of the back of your car, you know, to get your business going, you want to focus on that business and building that business, and you want to focus on developing your products and your brand, and you probably are best to have a partner who knows the technology space, watch your back for you. It's all fine and well, and it's a great thing to learn about the deep parts of your business, like how your website works and, you know, all those different things. But a lot of times in those early days, you know, you just want to lock the door at night. You don't want to invent the lock first. So that's where Fully Bully comes in. We cover you as your partner. And, you know, we're not legally partners, but we think of ourselves as partners because we want to do the absolute best job that we can, because your success is our success.
You know, let's look at that. Do you, from a performance standpoint, are there performance checks on websites or website audits that let them know about where page breaks might be, lags might be, missing information? Do you guys perform any of those diagnostic checks?
Absolutely. Yeah, before we deliver any product, we're going to run something that's called Lighthouse, which Google uses to assess your site. And there's also performance analytics in Shopify that are constantly watching your page to make sure that it's loading as best as it can. But it's going to check for accessibility, load time, you know, time to first interaction, basically means when the user can start interacting with the page. You've got 1.3 seconds, I think, is the latest number. Someone's going to look at your site before they move away if it's responding slowly. So it's absolutely critical that when we put a website out, whether it's informational or e-commerce or, you know, some kind of media, that it performs at a high level, because you're going to lose customers, plain and simple, if you don't load quickly and provide them the content that they need in terms of accessibility or whatever to capture those dollars.
I think the word critical could not be more appropriate. And so when we're saying it's critical, you know how many websites I've seen where, here I am, I'm not the specialist in all things website performance based, but I know that there's breaks in the website. We know that we have images that are too large or not sized appropriately, which is also forcing slowdown, or things that are misplaced, or the user experience is not as sequential as it should be. These things are absolute killers in the e-commerce space. Is that right?
Absolutely. You know, think about the trust from the customer's perspective. If they go to a website that has broken pieces, do you want to give those people your credit card? You know, it's a question you need to ask yourself. It's about quality. You spend tons of time building your products and, you know, manufacturing and, you know, marketing and all the other things that it takes to run a successful business, and you deliver it through a website that has, you know, that doesn't load quickly enough. So you're just, you know, throwing all this money away that you've used to get your products to that point. So it is absolutely fundamental and critical to, you know, load quickly and perform at a high level.
Well, that pushes me to get you guys' collective opinion. When it comes to building out a site, you have a lot of people that will build it themselves. I'm not going to name any of the companies that assist you with doing that. But whether you decide to use a template and build it yourself, or hire a tech company to build out your platform, or even a marketing company to build out your website, just from an opinion standpoint or even a preference standpoint, what do you all think is best, or what do you kind of recommend loosely?
You mean in terms of technology or platform?
Yeah, from the technology standpoint. So if I had to word it a different way, I want to create my own resale shoe company. So I buy Jordans and I resell those Jordans, and I'm going to go ahead and build out my own website. Is it better to build out your own website through a third-party template, or is it good enough to do so, or have a professional build that out? You know, when you're talking about connecting that to your Shopify or to your, you know, your e-commerce platform to get the best performance, what have you all seen, and what do you kind of generally lean toward?
I won't speak for Andy, but from my own opinion, I think it depends on the scale of the business. If you're, you know, Audi of America, you're going to do one thing. And if you're, you know, selling Jordans, you know, on your own website, and you're starting up a new business, then I would go with something like Shopify. Larger businesses, I would probably suggest you still use Shopify for your checkout experience, because it allows you to get to market very quickly and reliably without a lot of legal exposure. They just recently launched a product called Hydrogen and Oxygen, which basically means you can use modern development practices instead of Shopify's content management system, but you still get to use Shopify's checkout completely seamlessly and their product management system completely seamlessly. So you can develop those really engaging experiences for customers without using, you know, a theme from a theme store or a template. You can hire a UX designer or use your in-house, you know, developers and designers to create a fantastic experience, but you get the security and the peace of mind of Shopify checkout.
Well, you know, a lot of times this decision making doesn't come from resources and tools like you just mentioned. A lot of times for small business owners, it comes down to price points and budgets. But what I often tell business owners is you have to prioritize things based on what is it that you're offering the world? How are they going to interact with you? What is the first impression that you get amongst your target audience, and how do you use that to leverage it? So in other words, you know, I was speaking to a business owner just yesterday and found out that they were doing their own taxes. I said, well, what the heck would you be doing that for? Now, their business in their mind is straightforward, but I'm saying that's just one aspect, is the actual spreadsheet itself to say, here's my revenue, here's my expenses. But you've got the laws, the strategies, and following your business year in and year out as things change. Are you making the best financial decisions? Well, after all, we're in this thing to make dollars, but we also want to preserve dollars. So let's say I don't make more money in the following year. I have to find a way to keep more money. So therefore, it feels like intangibly I actually did keep more money, which means that there's more revenue or profit, if you will. Well, in this case, if you're not a specialist or you're not classically trained in all things finance, it just isn't the best use of your time, or is it the best use inside of the business to try to figure out those things that may be foreign to you? Well, that's one aspect of decision making. But if my actual product is the thing that everyone is going to see and I need help providing that to the world, my recommendation and doctor's orders is that you find someone that's amazing at that in order to present it, because that's where you're going to build your customer base. So I'm saying that in response to, if you're going to build out a website and you're selling widgets, flipper trippers, food, or whatever else it might be online, your website has to be the best thing that you can possibly have. It has to work well. It has to be aesthetically pleasing, because no one's going to buy what it is that you have if your presentation isn't good. It's very similar to going to a restaurant and the plate of food might be delicious, but if it looks like cat chow, nobody wants it. That logic makes sense.
Yeah.
And so you would have to spend money on the presentation.
Totally. I think the most valuable resource that we have unquestionably is time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if the more I used to be the worst offender of, you know, when the car breaks down, I'll fix it myself. And when, you know, my shoe lace breaks, I'll just, you know, order another one and I'll replace it myself. And then I realized how much time I was sitting there spending and not focusing on what I needed to focus on to be successful. And it's amazing mm-hmm. when you sit down and do that. And I think you'll see that a lot with, you know, new business owners or people who are trying to make it out there. When they first transition, they're going to try and do everything that they can do and prove that they're trying to do it by working as hard as they can. But my new mantra is leave it to the experts. You know, like if my shoe gets a hole in it, I'm not going to go on Amazon and order shoe goo and try to fix it. I'm just going to throw the shoes away and buy a new pair of shoes. And I think, you know, you'll see that a lot when you're working with new entrepreneurs who are, you know, doing their own taxes. I used to do my own taxes, and then I, you know, hired a tax attorney, or not a tax attorney, but an accountant when I started doing house flips, and he got me from being $10,000 owing the government to $20,000 the government's paying me. And that taught me a lesson really quickly. Said, leave it to the experts and focus on your core focus and being authentically yourself. Create a market by, you know, doing what you do best that no one else can do and no one can compete with you.
Well, I think what you just stated was that, you know, that's a 30-point swing, you know, kind of like in dodgeball, right? Two-player swing, right? You got a 30-point swing. Tell me, you know, what did that actually mean in the course of your work life? I know for many business owners, and I have this argument all the time, even though I know I'm right, it drives me nuts that they're arguing with me over it. But small business owners, you know, you're averaging around $55,000, $60,000 a year for a small business owner. Well, heck, if I can make $30,000 just because I filed my taxes differently, that's over half my year's worth of work.
Yep.
But it was better for me to go get Frank or Sue to do my taxes to give me a $30,000 swing, as opposed to being out in the field swinging my hammer or killing buffalo trying to make the $30,000. But that's a mindset that we're looking at. But conversely, we see the logic and the merit of doing that with e-commerce, because our brain has told us, why try to sell one flipper tripper out of my trunk? Why don't I put it online? Now more people can get it, not just those in Cincinnati or in, you know, or in their surrounding area, but now someone from Virginia can buy my doohickey, and that exponentially grows my profit margin. Well, we understand it in one light, but then we ignore it in the other. To me, that's cockamamie, and we have to be smarter about how we set it up. And so, in other words, what we're saying as a doctor order is that if you are not a web builder or you don't understand e-commerce, Do not spend your time trying to figure out all the components of building a website or doing e-commerce. What you want to do is find a person that's an expert in it, look at them as a partner or an extension of your business, so therefore they can make sure that you're abreast of laws or you're abreast of different technologies and tools that should be used. Therefore, you're more efficient in the work that you do, which actually leads me to another question. There are, let's say for an example, like a CRM tool, and for my listeners, that's customer retention management. Sometimes people call it consumer relationship management. But either way, it's a tool that's used to manage your business and how you interact with your customer base. There are so many tools out there that could be used, like a CRM tool, that isn't being used to its capacity. You know, so you're paying for the license of that tool, but you might only be using 10% of the tool. How much does that happen in e-commerce? How much of that do you see? And then what do you guys do to convince the business owners to maximize the tools and the resources that they have at their disposal?
They see a lot of it. You know, Shopify has an app store, and one of the common things we see is apps that are being charged every month and underutilized. And so that's, Ben Franklin has a quote that says, even a small leak will sink a giant ship. And so when you think about that and your Shopify spend every month, you know, that's one of the areas that's important to look at and keep tabs on, just like the apps on your phone. You don't want some apps to be billing you $150 a month, and it's just going into the, this is what I spend on Shopify bucket. It's important to keep tabs on those things and to have an expert just assess what you're doing and what you're actually using those tools for, because maybe if you spent $1,000, $2,000 with Bully Bully for us to have our developers, you know, move you from, you know, three apps to one, you could save $500 a month. So we've paid for ourselves in a couple of months. So that's one of the areas that we see pretty commonly. But, you know, you see it up and down the line, modern business. You know, there's always some software in a business that's being underutilized and overpaid. So it's definitely a key area to make sure you're tracking.
Well, you made mention of this phenomenon earlier when you likened it to car insurance. I know a lot of people that obviously have car insurance because it's a mandate, but they don't review their policy. They don't know if their coverage is up to par. Same with their health insurance. They don't review it. They just kind of have it, and that's just it. And that's a very bad practice to have. And that's the same with the tools and technology that you're utilizing in your workspace. Is that in your company, if you're not reviewing, okay, we've got, you know, seven different tools that we're using for these specific reasons, how much usage did we get out of the tool? Or could we combine tools because we didn't know that this one tool had this function? You know, I was looking at Zoom. I do a lot of Zoom meetings. We've been Zooming before the pandemic. So I felt like that I was a champion in the Zoom world. Well, they just launched a couple features that I didn't know anything about until today. And I said, man, what in the hanky panky? I could be using Zoom for this or for that and was unaware, but I am also in the practice of reviewing what I have. So therefore, I understand how to maximize every tool that I have. You're saying the same thing when it comes to e-commerce and using different e-commerce platforms, or when using Shopify as your primary platform, is reviewing how are you utilizing the tool, what are you gaining from it. What are, you know, some of the, I would say, best practices that aren't so much things that I want you to tell as it relates to your particular business, but just overall best practices in the e-commerce space that just might be general good to know?
Well, you know, we talked about performance. That's critical to getting traffic to your website. You want to make sure that you are ranking well in a search engine. And you've got to find a partner that understands advertising on the internet. I mean, how many hat websites are out there? So, you know, and you've got influencers these days, different channels like TikTok and Shopify just did a deal with Twitter where they're going to be doing direct sales from Twitter. So advertising is starting to become more than just SEO marketing by quite a bit. You can't just go and spend your money at Google now. You've got to think about multiple different facets of advertising and find the one that best matches where your customers are going to be. So those are a couple key areas I would definitely focus on.
So as a person goes out and they look to build their business, they have to be certain of a few things. Number one, how is my website working? Number two, do I have the right resources and tools that will integrate into the site that allows me to have a seamless process? Or number one, the consumer's looking to purchase. Then number two, for me to run the back end of my business. And then three, we have to monitor how that's going to ensure that we're utilizing all the services given to us and making sure that we're looking at the analytics for decision making. If someone wanted to hire Fully Bully for services or they needed information, what is the best way for them to contact you all?
You can just go to our website, fullybully.io, and we have a contact form down at the bottom of the page. And if you mention Dr. Baker, we will give you 20% off your engagement with Fully Bully. And if you're 10% off, if you're a Shopify Plus customer.
Look at that, everybody. Every time you deal with me, we make you money or save you money. That should tell you something. So if you're out there, you're a business, and you want to increase your business through e-commerce, through Shopify measures, make sure that you call Fully Bully. You guys are headquartered where?
We're in Charleston, South Carolina.
Charleston, South Carolina, that's a destination a lot of people are trying to get to, whether it's for vacation or for retirement. That South Carolina state is desirable. That's all I've heard over the last 3 to 4 months of South Carolina, and I personally know 4 people that just moved down there. So I don't know what you all are doing over there, Andy and Grant, but I need to make a trip to South Carolina and see that for myself.
Beaches and barbecue, you can't beat it.
Yep, I fully agree with that. Lastly, before we leave and we go to transition out of here, is that what are some of the things, real quick as another tip, to make sure that everyone that's listening that's a business owner, number one thing that you can tell them to beware of?
I'm going to stand on my soapbox for accessibility. You know, there's more than one kind of buyer out there, and people's impairments shouldn't hold them back from finding your products and engaging with your brand. So make sure you keep an eye on that thing. And it used to be really complicated when the web was new, but it's not anymore. It can be very easy to manage. So let's watch out for those people and make sure we got their back.
Well, you got a scenario where you've got bad actors out there. The web literally is your brick and mortar if you're e-commerce. You have to view it that way. That means that you have to put your best foot forward when it comes to how someone finds you, protecting the site, and making sure that the experience when they get into your site is literally like the experience in the event that they are in your home. So you have to take that seriously. So once again, I want to thank Grant and Andy for joining us today from Fully Bully. I am Dr. Baker. This is Trending Thursdays on Doctor's Orders. Tomorrow, we're going to talk on Financial Friday with a trading expert. And I can't wait for you guys to hear this trading expert. It's going to be remarkable. We'll see you then and hope your business
Thank
the best
Thank you for help. Joining us for Doctor's Orders. You can contact Dr. Baker by phone at 1-855-249-4677, by email at info@drbaker.us. You can learn more on our website at www.drbaker.us. Be sure to tune in every Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. right here on 1320 AM, 103.9 FM, and on www.1320thevoice.com.